approximately. 2 minutes until loss of signal, until both the LEM and the command module go behind the moon, out of communications range with the Earth. When it comes around the far side, 46 minutes later, then the astronauts will be given a go or a no-go for continuation of the mission.
LOS, and if you give us a range and range rate, and again, perhaps you could repeat it for us.
It sounded like you said that the command module is 700 feet away. It'll be about 200 meters away. And I didn't get the figure on the closing rate, but he's much closer. A minute and a half now until we have loss of signal.
Roger, we copied down here. Thank you.
In mission control, the flight controllers, the flight director, Jerry Griffin, expect to have the answer on what direction the mission will continue in 46, 47 minutes from now. ...57 seconds until loss of signal. We've had no word yet at all on what the people in the mission simulator have found in working on this yaw gimbal actuator problem, where they're trying to find out if it's an indication in some of the electronic boxes or whether one of the motors on this rocket gimbaling action have gone out, the little small DC motors. Just a matter of time till they will know. About 15 seconds for loss of signal. Five seconds until we should lose communication with Apollo 16's two craft. There it goes. There's the noisy signal indicating that it's gone behind the moon.
In order to have good calm.
Whoops. No. Somebody's still in. Still there.
You just disappeared. Got the spotlight on.
That's Ken Mattingly. The lunar module is already lost signal, apparently.
I tell you, the spotlight isn't nearly as good as Earthshine. I'm really surprised.
Now he's gone behind the moon. I think. Yep.
This is Apollo Control. Yep. We have had loss of signal with both vehicles as they passed behind the moon nearing the end of revolution number 14. At the start of revolution 15, the crew of Apollo 16, still at this time station keeping in the two vehicles, will be given a go, no-go decision for power descent and landing during Rev 16, which would be some 4 hours from now. If the decision is go, and all of the maneuver timelines will have to be read up to the crew during the front side pass of Revolution number 15. If the decision is no landing, then the crew would proceed to rendezvous dock and prepare the spacecraft for return home. To recap the situation, the planned circularization maneuver by the command service module back prior to AOS on Revolution 13 was aborted by Ken Mattingly when he discovered that the backup system, the stabilization and control system, which in turn controls the gimbal actuators on the service propulsion system, apparently had a malfunction in the yaw direction. In other words, the driver that moves the engine bell left and right apparently had some excursions of several degrees and fairly rapid amplitude. Fairly rapid succession. Simulations are underway here in Houston and with the command module simulator. And some structural tests are underway at this time at the manufacturer's plant, Downey, California, to determine if indeed the problem would present any structural hazard to the spacecraft. Should the backup SES system have to be used in SPS burns? Keep in mind, please, that the primary system, the GNN system, is still in perfect condition, but the mission rules call for both systems being operational before we have a go for landing. Some 44 minutes remaining now until acquisition and Rev 15. During the next three-quarters of an hour, the decision should be firmed up on a go for landing, go, no-go decision. And at 101 hours, 14 minutes, ground elapsed time into the mission of Apollo 16. This is Apollo Control.
Well, let's see if I can put some engineers' reports into something that even I can understand. He's talking about the guidance and navigation system, GNN system, being primary, being the primary mode of guiding the spacecraft. If you're going to guide the spacecraft, that means you need to guide where the rockets push it. So the end result of all guidance and navigation comes in thrusting of some rocket out there in inertial space. Well, the primary guidance and navigation system, as you just heard Terry White report, is okay. It's working properly. The backup guidance and navigation system on the command and service module is called the SCS. This is the stabilization control system. And apparently the problem is between the black boxes and the SCS and or the signal it is feeding to one of the rocket gimbaling actuators. Now let's get down to those words. The yaw gimbal actuator. As Terry White said, that's the thing that causes the spacecraft to turn left or right when you're firing the big main rocket engine. There are other gimbal actuators and the pitch gimbal actuators. We're worried about the yaw gimbal actuators because when the backup control system, the SCS, stabilization control system, is cranked into the circuit, turned on, the yaw gimbal wants to swing back and forth a little bit. That would mean if the main rocket engine were firing, it would cause you to wobble back and forth, left and right, on the highway in space. That wouldn't be very accurate. That would you wouldn't know where you were going. Would you aim back at the Earth as you wanted to, at that proper pinhole in the sky, if it were during the return, the trans-Earth coast back to Earth? Or a precision maneuver in orbit around the moon in which the command module needs to be in an exact spot in space in order to link up, dock with the lunar module coming back from the surface. You've already heard during the past few minutes of how delicate it is for Ken Mattingly using the small thrusters to change his orbit and come back in what is called a station-keeping orbit with the lunar module. And he was only 1 kilometer or so away. It's very, very delicate, handling the energies required in moving a spacecraft in inertial space. And at the end of this backside of the moon pass, as you heard reported, there will be a go, no-go decision during this 15th revolution of the moon by the spacecraft, both spacecraft, as to whether or not there will be a landing during Rev 16, the following. If the decision is go for a landing during Revolution 16, the following revolution after the one coming up, then there will be a lot of numbers and maneuvering computer instructions to be passed up from Earth to the lunar module and to the command module so that he may get into a proper mode for emergency procedures. Or, in case of a no-go, according to Terry White's last report to us from Mission Control, then the proper numbers would be passed up from Earth to begin configuring the spacecraft to rendezvous and to go ahead and dock and prepare for a return to Earth. Now, the way that was worded, I did not interpret that go-no-go decision to mean that they couldn't postpone the decision for a lunar landing for another revolution or two. As I understand it, they still do have a total of 5 revolutions of the moon, some 10 hours, in which to decide on landing before the landing site itself would sort of rotate out of the orbital path below. But they believe that they'll know whether they're going to be able to land or not about 40 minutes from now, when signal is reacquired. I'll be back with you from here at the Manned Spacecraft Center with reports on this problem on Apollo 16 and the progress of its flight, and we'll hear the voices of the astronauts and from Mission Control. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
You're listening to the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 16, now 101 hours, 19 minutes into the mission. The Voice of America will remain on the air worldwide with its regular programming until a final decision on touchdown is made. We'll continue to broadcast reports on the progress of Apollo 16 and interrupt our regularly scheduled programs when necessary.
Now, from the Voice of America newsroom, here is the news with Norman Evans.
A lunar landing by Apollo 16 astronauts remains in doubt while flight controllers in Houston try to correct a problem in the steering system of the command module's main engine. Command pilot Ken Mattingly advised Mission Control shortly before the lunar module was to begin its descent to the moon that the backup control system was not working properly. The engine steering system is composed of both an automatic pilot system and a manually controlled system. It was the pilot-controlled manual system that did not function properly when Mattingly checked it, and so he elected not to fire the main engine. As a result of the control problem, which could cause possible damage to the spacecraft, cause it to be sent up, down, or sideways when the engine fires, Mission Control ordered astronauts Young and Duke to maintain lunar orbit and not to descend to the moon.
We go now to Rhett Turner at Mission Control in Houston for a live report on Apollo 16.
The fate of Apollo 16 and continuation of the mission to the moon will be decided within the next half hour. Right now, the lunar module and command module are behind the moon, out of contact with Earth. As they continue in lunar orbit, engineers here on Earth are making a decision on whether to go ahead and allow John Young and Charlie Duke to descend to the surface or not. A faulty backup guidance system, which determines the steering of the main rocket on the command module, is not operating properly. Normally, both primary and backup systems should be operating properly on this big engine on the command module before a commitment to allow the lunar lander to go onto the surface of the moon would be made. This is what is happening now in Mission Control. In Downey, California, where the rocket engine was built and its systems, in the Mission Control Center, in the back support rooms, in the command module simulator, just a few meters away from Mission Control. For the last couple of hours, engineers have been running tests, and it's believed that within the next half hour, a decision on whether to proceed or not will be made. We'll be back on the air to tell you about it from here in Houston. This is Rhett Turner near Mission Control.
This is the Voice of America's live coverage of the flight of Apollo 16. Now, 101 hours, 51 minutes into the mission. With acquisition of signal from the two craft expected momentarily, we take you to VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
We are go for landing, says Chris Kraft. Let's listen to Apollo Control. Well, he finished his announcement just as we got on the air there. Chris Kraft, the director of the Manned Spacecraft Center, just came into the Mission Control Center, and after evaluating all of the problems which have occurred and the extent to which this yaw gimbal actuator problem is important to a successful landing and proper rendezvous after lunar landing, the decision has been made to give a go-ahead to the lunar module Orion to descend to the lunar surface. The astronauts don't know that yet. They're still 6 minutes away from acquisition of signal as they come around from behind the moon, but this has been the decision just announced in Mission Control. Apollo 16 is go for landing during the 16th revolution of the moon. That will come about 2 hours from now. The new time for the circularization burn for this is the thing that caused the concern to come up to begin with. The command module is to circularize its orbit at 103 hours, 22 minutes after liftoff. If there are some of you listening to us around the world who follow this in ground elapsed time, the time from liftoff, the circularization burn of the command module is now to come at 103 hours, 22 minutes, 5 seconds, and that's about an hour before powered descent is to come off. And then at 104 hours, 17 minutes, 20 seconds, the lunar module will be allowed to start its powered descent for touchdown. Now that means that there's an hour after the circularization burn is attempted before the descent is to be attempted. So there's still some more leeway there for planning. If this circularization burn still doesn't come off properly, then there's time to just keep the lunar module right there alongside and dock and either continue in lunar orbit or make plans for heading back to Earth. So if you wanted to make a bet on which way they'd go, knowing Chris Kraft and all of the inputs toward decision-making which are available from all of the engineers and all of the sources on evaluating the equipment which is being used, you can almost bet that they have planned some alternate methods or an adequate safety factor somewhere along the way. That's I hate to say it, but that's the way I would have bet they'd go. If they could make sure that this yaw gimbal actuator could be bypassed properly with an alternate system. What happened, of course, for those of you who may not have been with us earlier in the afternoon, several hours ago when the initial descent was planned, was that the command module was unable to perform its circularization burn, putting it back into a circular or waiting, you might call it a hovering orbit around the moon. And that caused the mission controllers to hold off or to delay an okay for John Young and Charlie Duke to go on down to the surface in the lunar module, Orion. It's all ready and waiting to go, and all the systems are geared up and operating properly. And now the two spacecraft are back together, station-keeping in orbit. That cost a good bit of rocket energy on the part of Ken Mattingly in the command module with his small reaction control system thrusters. But they are prepared to dock and just to stay together should that have been deemed appropriate. But now 3 minutes when they come around the moon, the boys are going to get the good word, and I think we're going to hear some happy astronauts when they get the word that they will be given the go-ahead to continue the mission as planned. This is an unusual situation in the history of manned spaceflight. We know something that's very, very important before the astronauts flying it do. We know they're going to be allowed to continue, but the only reason they don't know it before we and all of the general public knows it is because they're out of touch. They're behind the moon in orbit. There's something to be said for that somewhere there. 2 minutes and 45 seconds until acquisition of signal, until the Apollo 16 crew comes around in their two spacecraft. Charlie Duke and John Young, ready to descend. They'll be given some new numbers. You're going to hear a long numbers game there as the mission control passes up to the crew the new computer information for them to crank into their guidance system to enable them to begin the powered rocket descent at precisely the right moment and precisely right spot in the sky in order to descend right down to the Cayley Plain in the Descartes Highlands of the Moon. Then, after they get those numbers, they will go
this
around the Moon
control,
once more. Here's Apollo Control.
1 hours, 56 minutes, ground elapsed time in the mission of Apollo 16. Less than 2 minutes prior to acquisition of signal with Orion and Casper coming around from the rear face of the Moon on the 15th revolution. As the conversation begins with the crew, the word that the rear go for landing will be passed up to the crew. Apparently, during the simulations here and at Downey, California, it has been determined that the oscillations in the backup control system, which controls the motion of the large engine on the service propulsion system, would present no structural hazard to the spacecraft. The backup system is go at this time, and we've had no problem at all with the primary system, the GNN system as it's called. To repeat again, the preliminary times for command module circularization burn would be 103.2205. For the power descent initiation, 104.1720. Standing by for acquisition some 20 seconds from now. Stand by, Bob. 10 seconds away. New flight control team schedule being posted on one of the IDA4 projectors. Beginning to hear noise on the downlinks. We're waiting for confirmation from the network controller that we have solid lock on with the spacecraft.
We got AOS,
let's wait. Orion, this is Houston.
Hello, Houston.
Roger, I have some switches and circuit breakers we want you to take care of to try to improve the comm situation. I'll get them to you as soon as you're ready to copy. Okay, we want on panel 12, track mode switch off. On panel 16, primary transmitter and receiver, circuit breaker open. S-band antenna heater, circuit breaker open. S-band antenna comm, circuit breaker open. And primary S-band power amplifier open. Then on panel 11, AC bus S-band antenna open. Over.
Okay, turn off the track mode, mode 12, track mode, off. Is that right, Jim?
That's right, track mode switch off on panel 12.
Okay, you'll have to find another name for that switch. Oh, okay, we got it.
A long day.
That was Charlie Duke saying you're going to have to find another name for that switch. Oh, I found it.
Breakers, Charlie.
Both spacecraft now in communication. They haven't been told yet.
You do have a go for another try here at PDI on Red 16. And I have some words on that problem. with the TVC whenever you are ready to pack it.
There's their go for PDI, go for descent and touchdown.
Well, I'm all ears. I don't know about Ken.
Good. Okay, Orion can always tell Casper what his problem is, but it looks like an open circuit in the rate feedback and your servo loop. We run exhaustive tests down here on the west coast and east coast on controllability aspects and structural aspects, and everything looks satisfactory. On Apollo 9, we ran a similar test was run, as you probably remember. And if such a problem did occur up there, you could expect oscillations, of course, of the gimbal, but you could expect a steady attitude. There would be a limit cycle. So we're convinced down here that we have a satisfactory control mode if we have to revert to that one. Over.
That's quite a scratchy signal. I'll try to repeat some of what was said there for you. That was Jim Irwin, the capsule communicator, telling both Charlie Duke and Ken Mattingly that the go-ahead had been decided on the strength of structural tests that were done on Apollo 9, as a matter of fact. One of the earlier Apollo missions before the first lunar landing, and also on the equipment at Downey, California, North American Rockwell, where the spacecraft is built, the command module. That even if there were some of these yawing dispersions with this backup guidance system on the big rocket, it would not create structural strain to the spacecraft. So therefore, this has been one of the reasons for their decision to go ahead and count on both the primary and backup control systems for the main rocket engine. And that's the essence of what Jim Irwin was passing up just now. The power descent now is scheduled for 2 hours 11 Greenwich Mean Time. Some 2 hours from now. A little over 2 hours from now. That's at about 2 hours 11 minutes Greenwich Mean Time. Apollo 16 is now scheduled to begin its descent for touchdown on the moon. That's at 104 hours, 17 minutes after liftoff, or what's called GET, ground elapsed time. The astronauts have been given a go-ahead for the lunar landing after a very careful evaluation has been made of the problem on the command module in the steering mechanism on the main rocket engine. Let's listen to the controllers.
Okay,
understand
that's complete.
I surely would, Stu.
Okay, most of the cases where they appear to be divergent to you and you shut it off the motor was short, and some of them was just very close to the point at which it became stable. And on some of the long ones, we did see the stability. But those that you call as diverging were short of reaching this stable point.
We're getting two signals there. We're getting two different conversations being mixed by Mission Control, one in which Jim Irwin is talking to the lunar module, and I believe the other one there in which we're hearing Hank Hartsfield talk to Ken Mattingly. So that's going to be a little hard to decipher if they're both going at once. But anyway, the spacecraft will now go around the moon for another revolution. During this one, the 15th rev, or revolution of the moon, as it's called, they will be given, Orion will be given new descent computer figures to be cranked into the guidance system, so that as they come around the east limb of the moon, they will begin the descent right at the appropriate time with tracking from Earth, precision radar tracking from here over 200,000 kilometers away, so that they can descend just south of the lunar equator into the Descartes Mountains, into what's called Cayley Plain. That landing site is just east of the center of the moon, just barely below the equator.